3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
And strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Happy Friday, everyone. Last podcast of the week. We'll take a look at what happened last night. We'll take a look ahead at the weekend as the Mariners will take on the White Sox for three more. Some great conversations coming your way in this podcast. Ketel Marte, we'll get a chance to hear from him coming up. He's been such a big part of what the Mariners have been doing the last few weeks since coming up from Tacoma. He's made a big, big impact. We'll hear from him coming up in a few minutes. Another really good conversation with another newcomer for the Mariners. Out of the bullpen, Logan Kensing is going to be by to tell us his story, and it's a very interesting story. So that comes up in a few minutes as well. Dave Sims had a chance to talk to Trace Thompson, part of the really amazing Thompson family. Clay Thompson, of course, Washington State Cougar, world champion with the Golden State Warriors. Michael Thompson, his dad, just a really amazing family. So that comes up in a couple minutes as well. But first, let's get to last night. Couple of disappointing things about last night. One, the Mariners lost. That's one of the disappointing things. But perhaps even more disappointing, the Chicago White Sox turned back the clock to 1976. And if you missed, if you didn't see the game, you really missed a pretty glorious uniform. They were the ones with the 76, so big collars, untucked shirts. Unfortunately, they had a chance to go to the shorts, and they didn't do it. It was the same era. They only did it a couple of times. So they actually wore shorts in a ball game with those uniforms. They turned back the clock. They had a chance to wear shorts, and they didn't do it. They actually wore baseball pants. So that, I thought, it was pretty disappointing as well. But it was funny to see them running around in their 76 best, their Chicago White Sox uniforms. But again, disappointing they didn't wear shorts. White Sox handled the Mariners in game one of the series yesterday, so they take game one by a final of 4-2. They scored four runs early. Roenis Elias back into the rotation. 6 2/3, 9 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, didn't walk anyone, and fanned 3 in the ball game. They did get a couple of runs in the 7th inning with 1 swing of the bat.
Here's a pitch swung on, driven deep right center field. A lot of carry, going back, gone. Goody. 2-run homer. And the Mariners are on the board. It's 4-2 in the 7th as he drives it deep to right center. And for Goody, his 9th home run. That's got to be about his 5th home run he's hit the right center since his comeback.
Not much besides that. Nelson Cruz did extend his on-base streak. Picked up another base hit. Jackson, a couple of knocks. Had the big blast there by Gutierrez. Some chances late. They couldn't cash in. And the Mariners fall in game one of the series 4-2. So the M's will take on the White Sox again tonight. 5:10 first pitch. Taijuan Walker against John Danks. The Mariners really hammered Danks last time. See what Walker does this time around. Hisashi Iwakuma will throw on Saturday, 4:10 first pitch, against Jeff Samardzija. That should be a very interesting matchup. And then officially on Sunday, 11:10 first pitch, TBA is the official starter for the Mariners. TBA. So that's to be determined on Sunday against Jose Quintana. Quintana's a good one. So good three games coming up. Walker, Iwakuma, TBA coming up for the M's the next three. Again, tonight, 5:10 first pitch. Now we're going to talk about a guy who's made a pretty significant impact since coming out from Tacoma. And, yeah, there's no question he's very young. He's just a handful of games into his career. But you really have to like what you've seen so far from Ketel Marte. You look at the numbers and, and again, early in his career, he's only 24 games into his career, but batting 307, and what I think is even more important, especially being at the top of the order, 380 on base percentage, which has been really impressive. And again, these numbers are going to fluctuate significantly, just 24 games in, but I think what really you attach your excitement to is the approach that we've seen so far from Marte. 11 walks, his plate discipline, the way he's approached at bats, I think has been really impressive, especially from the top of the order. A guy that seems to be very, very aware of his skill set, his speed, putting the ball on the ground, and has really injected a lot of life and athleticism into the top of the order. And going into the game yesterday, man, I mean, looking at the numbers, a 400 on base percentage. And really, since Ichiro, you look at the numbers, and the Mariners have really struggled at the top of the order with their leadoff man. We'll see long-term if Marte can hold down that spot. It's a tough one, especially for a young guy, but he appears to have the skill set to do it. He's also been impressive defensively at times, showing some good range, showing a strong enough arm at shortstop. And I think you have to like what you've seen so far from Ketel Marte. Again, 24 games into his major league career. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with the young Mariners shortstop.
Your role as the leadoff hitter, it's interesting to watch because every day you go out there, you, for the most part, are seeing pitchers you haven't seen before. What is your approach when you step up there and you don't know that guy yet? How do you take that first at bat?
When we finish the practice, we just talk about who pitch. I got Robbie, he helped me out a lot, and then I got to know who's pitch and how the game going. And like I said, I just try this, get a good at bat and get on base, that's it.
How did you become a switch hitter? Which did you do first?
Righty.
Were you just playing around or did somebody say you should do this?
Oof. When I was 16, somebody watched me play. He said, you can roam. And you can be a switch hitter. And he said, can you hit a left-handed? And I was, yeah, why not? And my first pitch, I hit a triple.
Oh.
Yeah, and then that was awesome.
Hey, when you were a kid, always a shortstop?
I started playing when I was 6 years old. Uh-huh. And somebody gave me a ground ball. I was playing short. And somebody gave me a ground ball, and I threw to the third base. Yeah, and then, nothing, I just know how I can play, and then I think it's good now.
Who did you like to watch when you were growing up?
Manny Ramirez.
Really?
Yeah, Manny Ramirez. When I was 13, I think, I watched a lot of Manny Ramirez, and I think he's good. He was good. He was awesome when he hit a homer, and I think that's why.
What do you remember about him as a hitter?
When he hit a homer, he jumped a lot. I like when he jumped. That's why.
He was a lot of fun to watch. You mentioned a few minutes ago that Robbie is somebody that helps you at the plate. He tells you a little bit about the pitchers. Kind of on an everyday basis, how does he help you?
When I was in Tacoma, he tells me every day, like, hey, when you come in, I'll let you know how you can play here. And if you listen, if you pay attention, you can be here for a long time. And then I was listening kind of and pay a lot of attention. And I think he's helped me a lot how I can play in here. And my defense, too, he helped me a lot. And that's, I think Robbie is good, and then he like my dad.
When you look at yourself as a shortstop, your defense, what do you think is your best thing that you do on defense?
I think my footwork. Okay. I think it's, I feel so happy because when I was in Tacoma, I was a little struggling in my defense, and you can see now my progress and my throw. That's why I've been working hard on my throw. Mm-hmm. And my consistent and my throw, and then I working hard a lot with Woody, like Robbie too, and I think it's good now. I think I'm so good. I feel good, and I feel so happy.
What's the thing you want to work on the most there? What can you get better at there?
I just want to be consistent in my throw because I got a good hand, and mm-hmm. I got a good footwork. And if I got more consistent in my throw, I can be here for a long time.
Absolutely. That's right. Well, it's been looking good, no question about it. You can also steal some bases. when you're over at first base and they give you the green light, they say, okay, if you see something, you can go. What's the first thing you think?
Yeah, first thing is, if you feel good with your body, your leg, just know who we got in the mound. If I feel good and then I got a good jump, I go. I don't have any scared.
Last question for you. What's the best part of being here every day?
Fans. I like to play with a lot of fans. I just want to give thanks God for giving me the opportunity to be here. And just to the organization, too, to give me the opportunity. And I think the fans, play with a lot of fans is good, awesome. That's why.
I think they like seeing you out there, too. Thank you, Cattell.
Thank you.
Now, here's another conversation, this time with a Chicago White Sox player, although he's got some roots with the Seattle Mariners. In fact, if it wasn't for the Seattle Mariners, maybe he wouldn't be playing baseball at all.
Visiting with Sox outfielder Trace Thompson, a Portland native, grew up a Mariner fan. What do you remember about your early days of your Mariner fanhood?
Oh, man, everything. They were the team. I mean, they were a big inspiration in baseball, not just in the Northwest, but nationally. And, you know, that's a big reason why I'm playing baseball, because I fell in love with the game by watching them. And, you know, I've always loved the game, but, you know, they really inspired me. And every guy on the team, really, not just Junior, not just Edgar, not Jay Buhner, not just them, but everybody, the whole entire team. And it was amazing, man. I can't think of a better way or a better team to follow as a kid. And I was very privileged to live in the Northwest. It's a beautiful area. And it was awesome. I remember absolutely everything.
And last week when he came to Seattle, it had been a thrill. You get a pinch hit opportunity. Then the next time you get in the game, you hit a home run. At a park that, you know, you used to come and watch games at, that had to have been one of your top thrills in your career.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always remember the first home run, but that home run felt a lot more surreal to me to do it in front of my family, and to do it, you know, my mom was there, and, you know, she's been with me every step of the journey, and she was the one who always took me to the stores to buy my bats and stuff like that. But yeah, it was special, man. A moment I'll always remember. It happened so fast, yeah, so I wish I could go back and do it again. But yeah, it was very special to me.
Seemed like you got around the bags pretty quick too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't try to, you know, I just try to run at my normal pace. I don't try to think about anything like that. But yeah, it happened very fast.
The thing that makes, I think, your story unique is your father, Michael Thompson, NBA champion. Your brother, Clay, NBA champion. You got another brother who's working to get in the NBA. How did you stick out as the lone baseball guy in that basketball family?
Well, we played all growing up. So we played all the sports growing up. So football was big with us too, especially me and Clay. But, you know, I think we owe a lot to our dad for that, because he never pushed basketball on us, never pushed one sport on us over the other. So he was never our coach in any of the stuff. He always kind of stayed away. He was always dad to us. And, you know, I think, you know, them letting me just kind of be on my own and letting me try to find myself, you know, my mom too. That, I mean, we were very blessed with that, with amazing parents. But like I said, I mean, the Mariners had a big influence on me. Yeah. Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the main reasons I'm playing baseball. And, you know, he's probably I've met a lot of people through my dad, a lot of athletes, a lot of, you know, famous people. And he's probably the one guy. He's the one guy I don't think I've ever met who, you know, I've always wanted to meet. Yeah. Jerome Bettis is my second favorite athlete of all time. And I got to meet him when I was 13 years old. And he was awesome. But, yeah, if I ever got the opportunity to meet Junior, it would be special. I know Edgar Martinez is over in the other dugout. That would be special, too. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think them not pushing basketball on me was probably the biggest reason for that.
Lastly, let me ask you this one. You're a son of a professional athlete. How much did that help you, give you any kind of edge once you got into the professional, you know, athletic environment?
Oh, yeah, it's helped a whole bunch. That's why, you know, people, you know, I've had moments here where I want to kind of pinch myself. Like, I want to pinch myself, but, you know, I've been growing up around this atmosphere and, you know, going to football games, MLB games, NBA games, you know, going on the court, going on the fields and stuff since I could remember my first days going to the games. But, I think that's helped me tremendously. I'm not going to say nothing's a shock to me, because this is my first, you know, my first 3 weeks in the major leagues. But, you know, as far as once the game starts, the game's the easiest part of my day. So once the game starts, it's the exact same. And it's just like another day for me, another game. So, me and my brothers, we were very fortunate to grow up in that atmosphere, and that's helped not just me, but helped my brothers too.
And now a great story in the Mariners bullpen, Logan Kensing, who's pitched well for the Mariners, pitched again yesterday and hung some zeros on the board, but a guy that came up as a 21-year-old with Florida in 2004, very young, and then just kind of up and down with Florida for the next few years. He was spent some time in the big leagues in 04, 05, 06, 07, 08 with Florida. In fact, in 08, 48 games in the big leagues, but a lot of times in the minors as well. In 2009, was with Florida in Washington. And really, that was the last significant time he spent in the big leagues, 2009. He pitched one game in 2013 with Colorado, and now he's made his way back to the big leagues now, up with the Mariners. And so far, so good for Logan Kensing. He's got a great story. Here's Shannon Dreyer with the new Mariners reliever.
Logan, I think probably it's hit the ground running kind of this time of the year for you, but it can't be normal to just all of a sudden get off a plane and hop into a game and have a new clubhouse and find a new jersey and everything. The last couple of days, what have that been like for you?
It's been kind of a whirlwind. I mean, I can't say it's any part of it's been bad. It's been awesome. But baseball is just one of those crazy games where you think you've seen it all, and then next day you'll see three things that you've never even heard of. That was a first for me. I mean, I've played on teams where we've actually traded a guy and he's traveled with us and started against us the next day. I've seen guys get traded in the dugout and then go to the other side of the field. Like I said, it's part of the game that makes it really awesome.
And I think when you get out on the field, that's what makes it everything normal, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some jitters out there, but that's your home. That's where your safety zone is, and you try to do what you can do.
You know some of these guys, I would imagine. You were in spring training a year ago.
I know most of them. There's not too many new faces in here, and I've been around for a while, and I've played with most of the guys somewhere in some capacity or against them. It makes things a lot easier.
You do have a great history in baseball. I mean, you look back in 2004, I believe, was your debut.
That was it.
I definitely
wasn't ready for that. Like I said, you know, I'm grateful for everything that's happened in the game and throughout the game, and it's been an awesome ride.
What do you remember about that first year? I was looking up and down that roster. I think one of the first things that jumped out at me was good pitching on that team, and there was a very young Miguel Cabrera on that team too.
Yeah, there were names that guys in here don't even know about. but like our starting five, other than me, was Josh Beckett, Brad Penny, A.J. Burnett, Dontrell Willis, some of the best in the game for that era. And the guys that I grew up emulating were guys that I actually got to throw against, and that probably actually hurt me a lot more because I'd seen how good they were on TV and it scared me to go out there. But it was one of those things where I wish I would have taken more time to really, like, take in the game instead of just living at 100 miles an hour. But I like to tell the stories about it.
We like to hear them. That's what we do. Hey, when you were growing up, who did you like? Who did you kind of, okay, when I get to the big leagues, this is kind of...
I mean, I think every kid born in Texas would say Nolan Ryan, but I'm going to go with Kerry Wood. I just thought his stuff was through the roof, really, as far as his fastball control and his breaking ball. So I think he's the guy. I actually caught my bathroom on fire trying to take a picture that he did on ESPN the magazine, or I think it was Sports Illustrated. He took a baseball and he had it on fire, and I tried to do it in my bathroom with my buddy, and little did I know that the lighter fluid had run down my arm, and I threw the ball against the wall, and the wall caught on fire. So
were you okay?
Oh, I was good. My parents,
it's not
were
one of those baseball injuries.
No. My parents were a little livid, but that's okay.
Kids do not do this at home,
right?
Hey, it's you look at your numbers and you see a big gap. You were out of the big leagues for a long time. 2009, I think you pitched once after that year. What kept you going?
We play this game with such a passion that even if you think you got shorted, you're still going to give it everything you got. Even if you think that, you know, you have a 10-year major league career coming in front of you, there's doors and traps everywhere. So I think really for me it was just I just wanted to give it one more try and just keep pushing and see what I could do until I couldn't play the game anymore.
Last year, Pitcher of the Year of Tacoma, what was it like to be around so many young arms, and what did you kind of want to, what was that experience for you, and what did you want them to get from you as well?
I mean, I think that they keep things lively because they come in with stuff that I've never seen. Like coming in here, watching these guys ride around these wheelie things is just, you know, you have to watch out for the superhighway, but it keeps you young and it keeps you kind of refreshed in the game. And then, you know, you just hope to share some of your insight and what you see and what things that you can help them with.
Last question. What's your favorite part of the baseball day?
Ooh, That's tough. Probably anytime you're getting something made in the kitchen to get to eat. So
what have you discovered from Jeremy so far?
I just ordered my first breakfast sandwich, so he's on trial right now.
All right. Well, you got to go get that because they're pretty good. Yeah. They snuck me one once. Logan, thank you. Good
no
to
problem.
Have you here.
The 93 season has been a very good one for the Mariners. Lou Piniella's crew has battled hard all season long through injuries, and they've continued to play hard and win in spite of misfortune, and opening night at the Kingdom is when it all began. Here's the pitch to Tino, swung on, and a high fly ball belted deep to right center, and it will fly away! Tino Martinez! Number one on the year, and just like that, the Mariners tack on one more, and they lead it 8-1. My, oh my, what an opening night. And then just two short weeks later at the Dome with the Boston Red Sox in town, Chris Bosio put his name in the record books. Bosio, his 2-1 pitch on the way, swung on, high jumper with a mound, charged by Vizquel, Barrett throws, it's over, and Bosio has done it! My, oh my, what a performance by Chris Bosio, the second no-hitter in Mariner history, and he is being mobbed by his teammates out behind the mound. Great defense, great pitching, and these fans indeed have had a share on baseball history here at the Kingdome tonight to see one of the more brilliant performances in history. As Bosio faces only one over the minimum and no hits, the Boston Red Sox beats them by a score of 7-0. You will never see a better pitch game. Congratulations to Chris Bosio being embraced by all of his teammates, and he did it in only 95 pitches. Indeed, my, oh my.
There were other notable achievements in the 93 season, such as the unsung hero, Mike Blowers, nobly replacing the injured Edgar Martinez and entering his name into the record books as well.
One ball and no strikes on Blowers. The 1-0 pitch on the way now. Swung on and belted deep to left center. Box to the track, to the wall. It is grand salami time for Mike Blowers. And just like that, the M's get the one that broke the back of the camel. The 1-2 on the way now. Fastball belted deep to left center field. Hulse to the track, to the wall. And would you believe it? Mike Blowers has his second grand slam home run in 2 days. My, oh my.
And then, of course, there's the kid who was knocking down records all year long. 542 consecutive errorless chances, to name one. And, of course, this, his 100th home run.
The 3-2 pitch, swung on and belted deep to right. Junior has hit number 100. My, oh my. Ken Griffey Jr. with his 100th career home run. And Billy Brewer's name will go after that as Junior hit a 3-2 pitch over the wall and becomes the fourth youngest player in Major League history to hit 100 home runs. Congratulations, kid. My, oh my.
Well, not to be outdone, Mariner right fielder Jay Buhner did something no other Mariner had done in 17 years at the Dome on the 23rd of June. Here it is.
3-2 pitch on the way. Swung on, hit well, into right center field. Back goes Sierra, and that ball is off the wall and gets away from Blankenship. Around second, he's gone for three, and the throw to third is offline. Buhner with a triple. Not only that, he becomes the first Mariner in history to hit for the cycle. Would you believe it?
But who will ever forget Junior's record ride in July? Home runs in 8 consecutive games. Let's relive it.
The 2-1 pitch. There's a drive. Deep toward right field. Will it reach the upper deck? It did. An upper deck home run by Ken Griffey Jr. A two-out blast, and the Mariners lead it 9-5. He got all of that, baby.
The 1-2 pitch. Fastball swung on it. A high drive. Hit to right field. O'Neill goes back. And see you later. Ken Griffey Jr. has just hit his 24th home run of the year.
The 1-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and belted. Deep to right. Back goes Kirby. To the track. The wall. Jr. has number 25. Fly away. And we are even at 1-1. Boy, is he on a binge.
Wide pitch. Drilled. Deep toward right field. Back goes Howard to the wall. It's out of here. He's homered in four straight ball games.
Payoff pitch. Breaking ball, fly ball, deep toward right field. Kirby back to the track. He's at the wall. That ball is out of here. Junior has homered in five straight games and has tied the Mariner record. The pitch. High drive, deep toward left field. Back goes Hill to the track, to the wall. It's out of here. He's done it. Six home runs in six games for Ken Griffey Jr. And just like that, it's a 7-5 ball game. This kid is unbelievable.
One ball and one strike, the pitch to Jr. Fastball drill, deep center field. Back goes back. He's at the wall. That ball is gone. Seven straight games. It's a grand slam, and the Mariners are leading it 5-0.
Well, all eyes are on this young man right now as he stands in. Griffey 0-2 tonight. And the first pitch from Banks is welcome. There it goes! See you later! Upper deck! Griffey has tied the Major League record! Holy cow, the kid has done it! Home runs in eight consecutive games!
Enjoy the tour, son. Enjoy the tour.
Indeed. Wasn't that something? That's really fun to listen to. Junior also broke the Mariners' single-season record for long balls on the 10th of August.
Here comes the 1-0 on the way now. Swung on and belted. And right now, Junior stands all alone. That is his 33rd home run of the year.
And then in September, the kid joined a rather exclusive club.
Comes the stretch by Moore. The pitch on the way to Junior. Swung on and a high fly ball. Belted deep to center. Gladden to the track. To the wall. Makes the leap. Fly away as it bounces off the top of the wall. And Junior has joined the 40 club.
Yes, what a year it has been for Ken Griffey Jr. But no review of the 93 Mariners would be complete without a look back at the year the big unit has had. There were the near no-hitters against the A's and the Royals.
Blankenship. Here comes the stretch, and the 1-0 on the way by Randy. Swung on, line drive, right field, base hit. Down to third base goes Steinbach, and it's broken up. So Blankenship has been such a story here in this three-game series. And everybody up giving Randy Johnson a round of applause as he goes 8 1/3 innings of no-hit ball against Oakland here this afternoon. Of course, Randy would love the shutout. It would be kind of the maraschino cherry on top of the sundae. But he is concentrating on McCray more than anything else right now. He has 15 strikeouts. The left-hander said, and the 3-2 pitch on the way, swung on, line drive, fair down the left field line by Blowers into the corner, will score the run. So Keith Miller scores, and it's a 14-1 ball game, and Randy Johnson is given a standing ovation as he goes 7 1/3 innings of no-hit ball here tonight.
And the K's. Yes, always the strikeout for Randy, and he had some big ones.
0-2 the count on Knobloch, and Randy Johnson into his motion. The big unit's 0-2 pitch. There's 1,000 strike three call. Knobloch walks away, and Randy Johnson has got his grand on the first two hitters he faces tonight. My, oh, my. The 1-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss, and there it is. Randy Johnson has the Mariner club record of 263 strikeouts in facing and striking out the leadoff man of the Kansas City Royals here on September the 16th, 1993. Sitting right on the precipice of history is Randy. The 2-2 pitch, swag and a miss, and he's done it!
Randy Johnson has 322,751 saluting the big guy here on Sunday afternoon, closing day at the Kingdom, as he becomes only the eighth man in American League history to strike out 300 or more batters. My, oh my, congratulations, Randy Johnson.
Yes, indeed. My, oh my, what a year it has been. And to paraphrase the old Brooklyn Dodgers fans, I can't wait till next year. This is Dave Niehaus.
See you later!